Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning as we begin our Bible study into the life of Christ. As many of you know, the biblical gospel accounts of the life of Jesus Christ weren't written in strict chronological format. You know, day one, Jesus did thus and such. Day two, Jesus did thus and such. Instead, they were written in a more thematic arrangement, recording and grouping events and teachings of Jesus together as they fit together thematically, often including several of the teachings of Jesus that took place on different occasions into the same section because the subject matter was linked. That seems a little foreign to us in our day because we write and we read biographies in chronological sequence of events. I'd also like to note that the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wrote through the inspiration of God's Spirit, but from their own perspective. What we have in the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus Messiah is God-breathed revelation. There are no mistakes, errors, or fallacies, but they were written through four human instruments from their individual perspectives. So our effort this morning is to combine the four gospel accounts of the life of Jesus into one chronological timeline. We will begin at the birth of Christ and continue through the biblical accounts of his life all the way through to the most significant event in all of Christendom, his death, burial, resurrection from the grave, and ascension on high, back to where he resides today at the right hand of the Father. So let's jump into the text this morning and begin our study at the beginning. Turn, if you will, in your own Bibles to John chapter 1. Now, I will be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. It's a very accurate word-for-word translation of the older manuscripts. But please feel free to study from your own favorite translation. People always ask me, well, what translation would you recommend? My answer is always the same, the one you will read. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, I love God's Word. I love God's Word in the original languages. I've spent a great portion of my life studying the Bible. And in all my education and perusal, I have come to realize that when it comes to scriptural interpretation, biblical understanding, no resource is better at interpreting Scripture than Scripture. And I believe that our biggest hindrance to understanding the truth of Scripture is that we move through it too fast. If you desire a better understanding of God's Word, then quit running sprints. Slow down for the marathon. You don't have to break your neck to read the Bible in a year. Slow down. Allow God's Spirit to reveal truth to you as you scrutinize, as you truly dig into His Word, one paragraph at a time, one verse at a time, sometimes even one word at a time. This morning, let's run the microscope over verse 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, does any part of this verse sound familiar to you? In Genesis 1, we're told, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you think these verses have anything in common? Could it be that they're both speaking of God's initial creation of this cosmos in which we live? You see, before there was a Gainesville, Texas, before there was a United States, before there was a man or woman, before there was a planet Earth, there was the Word. Now, before we rush on any further, we need to define some very significant terms. Who or what is this Word? Now, all biblical scholarship recognizes from the subsequent context, as we'll see as we continue on, that this reference is speaking of Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, God's only Son. That's why all of your translations will have Word capitalized. to designate deity. You see, Jesus is the subject of chapter 1 of John. But what else is this designation revealing about Jesus? Well, there are actually three different Greek terms for word. The first one is logos. It conveys an expression or communication. It's a more broad, general term when someone expresses themselves. The second term is rhema, the spoken word, speech, that which I'm doing right now. I'm employing rhema. Graphe is the written word or drawing. When we look at the written word of God in Scripture, we are looking at graphe. Now, which Greek term do you think is used here in John in reference to the pre-incarnate Son of God? Give yourself 50 points if you said logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Before there was anything, there was the expression of God, with God, active in all that God is, all that God does, because, and I quote, the Word was God. There's probably no greater attestation of the deity of Jesus Christ than we find in John chapter 1, verse 1. Well, how is this particular term logos significant? Why this specific word? You see, I believe we're being shown here the unique character and personality of God the Son, Jesus Messiah, as the expression or communication of God. When God chooses to communicate, to express himself, to reveal himself to mankind, he does so through the person of the Logos, Jesus. When God visited Abraham, he did so through Jesus, the expression of God. When Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, he was looking at Jesus, the expression of God. And oh, my friend, here is where it gets good. When one day we cross that river, when we see God face to face, we will be gazing into the beautiful face of the expression of God, Jesus. Now, if you shouted amen into your radio, give yourself another 50 points. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Now here we have a brief but a summary or repetition of verse 1. Do you recognize how often Jesus repeated himself in his teachings? Why would someone repeat themselves? Because they have nothing to say? Or because they forgot they already mentioned this? Or perhaps for emphasis? You see, any time I find Scripture repeating itself, I slow down. I pay attention because the author of Scripture, God himself, is saying, guys, did you get this? I'm repeating this to make sure you understood what I'm saying. It is that important. In verse 2, God is saying, listen, Jesus, my son, the very expression of my character and my purpose is part of me and has been part of me since I have been. Chris Tomlin wrote a beautiful worship song a few years back entitled Holy Uncreated One. See, that's what we find here in John 1, Jesus, the expression of God, holy and uncreated, with God, part of God, since God was. Now, I'm about out of time this morning, so I'd like to leave you with this encouraging song of worship. And thank you for joining me this morning. We'll pick up where we left off next Sunday morning. Until then, spend time with the Holy Uncreated One this week in his word, and remember to slow down and meditate in prayer without ceasing. Never find yourself somewhere you can't take him, and in worship. The glory of
Speechless awe will stand.